Matthew Leckie puts Australia into the quarterfinals.
That is a magnificent goal by Owen Mabil.
Oh, Matty Ryan, wow! Keeping it out of the top corner like Superman.
Yes, hello and welcome to a new episode of the Socceroos podcast. Our Aussies Abroad series is back, featuring Martin Boyle. My name is Chris Carulli, and today I'll be catching up with the Scottish-born Socceroo to talk about life in Saudi Arabia, how the Socceroos helped the move happen in the first place, plus a few funny stories from his time around camp. We'll also look to answer plenty of your questions from social media, so keep an ear out for those, and we hope you enjoy. Martin Boyle, welcome to the Socceroos podcast. Can't wait to catch up. How's life treating you in Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, it's been great. Obviously, it's been a massive change for myself. Obviously, I left for the last international camp and I haven't returned, obviously, so that was quite, it was quite a change. Obviously, I never got home to, you know, pack up some stuff and say proper goodbyes and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's obviously been a massive change for myself and family and stuff, but, you know, I've adapted quite well. I'm fairly enjoying it. And I've settled in quite well, which is the main thing. And yeah, still keeping in touch with family each day. And yeah, it's been good. It's been a positive start.
Yeah, on this podcast, we'll be answering plenty of questions that Socceroos fans have sent in. The first one from Luke Wilson, along these lines, I guess he's asking you, what's the difference between Scottish life and life in Saudi?
Probably the weather. The weather's a massive change, I'd probably imagine. You know, back in Scotland, we train in the mornings, leading into the afternoon, and here we train at nights at like 6:30. So that's a massive change. You know, we have all day, and I think the culture over here is that they basically stay up all night and they sleep through the day. And you know, I think grasping that time zone was a bit difficult for me, but I've managed to adapt, and yeah, it's quite enjoyable. And obviously, it's much cooler at night than it is through the day, so enjoying the training much better.
Yeah, obviously, it all happened pretty quickly. As you said, you were over here in that window and then over there for your club football. Is there anything that, I guess, stood out or surprised you? Did you really know what to expect moving over there?
I think when I knew about it going into the camp, you know, there was a lot of guys that played out here, and, you know, you get speaking and pretty much, obviously, the deal wasn't finalised, but you get speaking and you ask how life is. And, you know, Stegnak was out here, Mitchell Duke, and they've gave me some, you know, they fairly enjoyed it out here. And obviously, you ask about how life is. And yeah, and they fairly, you know, they bigged it up to me, and I respect that. And obviously, that made my decision a bit smoother. And obviously, having family back in what I'm doing as well, and having conversations, you know, it wasn't easy, obviously. Playing at Hibs all my career and playing in Scotland, and you know, having a young family, it certainly wasn't easy. But at the end of the day, it's a decision that we made together, and like I say, I'm enjoying it, and you know, I'm sure it won't be long until I'm back with family as well. So yeah, I'd say it's been a good start for me here, and long may it continue.
Yeah, you mentioned your family a couple of times there. Sending our congratulations on the recent news that you've got a second child on the way. How's that side of it all been? As you say, you've kept in touch with them quite a lot.
Yeah, it's quite difficult. Obviously, leaving my wife, and you know, we have a 3-year-old daughter as well. You know, I can imagine it'll be quite hard for her. But I think my parents and her parents, and you know, friends around us are you know, they're giving her a lot of support, and obviously me keeping in touch every day. Yeah, I can't imagine it's easier for her just now, and obviously it'll get difficult the bigger she gets and the longer the pregnancy goes on, and obviously not even being able to see the scans and stuff like that, you know, just on FaceTime. You know, thankfully for technology, you can see things these days, which is great. But yeah, obviously it's not been easier for her at the start, but I'm sure as things goes on, it'll ease. And obviously when I go back for the summer, hopefully I can spend a lot of time there and you know, get a steady plan together when I can come back and visit and stuff like that. So yeah, there's plans in the pipeline, but yeah, she's happy at the moment, and obviously, you know, the family's getting bigger.
Really exciting news. Obviously, yeah, missing the family and the Hibs boys and that kind of things. Another fan question, we've got Jezza, who asks us, what don't you miss about Scotland? And you can't say the weather.
I'm not too sure. It's a great question. I don't know. That's actually a great question. Probably all the crunching tackles that I get every Saturday playing and playing for Hibs is probably not an easy one, and the abuse from the fans. It's a bit more timid over here, so I'd probably go along the lines of that.
Fair enough. You're one of the most fouled players in the league over there for a while. Are you feeling a bit better there? They're letting you take players on and actually not get taken out for a change?
Well, I've been on the end of a few challenges, but I think they just play on here, which is a big difference. But I'm not complaining. I'm one of those players that just gets on and gets on with it. And, you know, in Scotland, it can be a competitive league for sure around the way, and there's a lot of big guys running out there. So, yeah, I certainly don't miss that.
Fair enough. Yeah, talking about the football, coming into Al-Fasali, it was, you know, a club having a bit of a difficult season, and you bounced back the last few weeks. You grabbed your second goal 2 weeks ago, and then this week it was a pretty late equaliser in the end for a big result. How's that been going, and, you know, what are you looking to achieve moving forward?
Yeah, obviously I knew the position they were in when I first signed, and obviously my ambition was to come and help the team and, you know, try score goals, get assists and try climb up the table, and obviously, you know, not be near that relegation battle. Obviously, I'm relishing the challenge. It's different. Obviously, playing at Hibs, where we were challenging near the top and for Europa League spots and stuff like that. But here's, you know, it's much the same. It's just try, you know, contribute as much as I can to the team, help as much as I can, and, you know, we have to get the points on the table to get out the, you know, the situation that we're in at the moment. Obviously, it's been a bit up and down since we came here, but, you know, we're starting to get points on the table now. Like you say, the last game was a massive point for us at the end, and, you know, we showed great character to come back. So hopefully we can go into Thursday and claim all 3 points.
Yeah, is it almost taking you back? As you said, the last few years you've been right up top with Hibs, but I guess the earlier years in your career, you're in teams that were up and down and that kind of thing. So are you almost tapping back into those early years? And, you know, I guess from that, has that helped you over here in Saudi?
I think I've just got to be confident in my ability that I can manage to help the team. You know, obviously, coming for the big transfer fee, you know, there's a lot of expectation on you. And obviously, I started off with a goal and assist the first game, which, you know, it kind of made me settle in even more. You know, everyone around the club and the players have been fantastic with me, so I just need to continue to keep working hard and, like you say, contribute. And, you know, we've a good unit as a team, and, you know, the banter and the dressing room is real good at the moment, so yeah, long may it continue. I'm pretty sure we can get out of the situation that we're in.
Yeah, going back to that start of the transfer, you know, I remember the speculation coming out November, December. It was around that time where the Socceroos played against Saudi Arabia. You had a great game against them in that nil or draw in Sydney. You were the Socceroos fans' player of the match for that one. Was it around that time that the interest started up, or was it even earlier than that?
I think it must have been around that time. I think it was after that camp, you know, the interest started to happen. And obviously, as the games went on with Hibs, obviously I was, you know, thankfully playing quite well and doing well for the Socceroos, which was great. And yeah, obviously the speculation kept coming and it wasn't going away. And, you know, they obviously put in the bid in January, and, you know, and obviously there were big bids there. And obviously it was, from where I've come from, you know, it's a lot of money. And obviously it was a lot of money for Hibs' pocket as well, which was great. And I think it was just something that, you know, it was just something that I really wanted to do at the end of the day. You know, I think since I've started this journey with Australia, you know, seen different places and the cultures, and, you know, I'm quite adventurous. I wanted to try all these places, and thankfully it's managed to come around, and, you know, the deal got done. And like I say, I'm out here and I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, as you mentioned, surely, I guess, playing for the Socceroos is something that must have opened your eyes up to Asia a bit and made you very familiar and allowed for moves like this to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been to places that I never thought I'd be going to in my life. You know, thankfully I've managed to play football and really enjoy it. And yeah, it's been great for me. Obviously, the passport is getting quite full at the moment. But at the same time, you know, doing this, we have to, you know, playing for the Socceroos, we have to, you know, get results. At the end of the day, you know, it's a massive privilege to pull on the shirt and to be selected. So, yeah, it's nice to see all these places, but at the end of the day, you know, we have to play well and produce the results.
And obviously, we were all looking forward to this huge game against Japan on March 24, but there's a small matter after that of going to Saudi. I mean, it saves you a big plane trip back because you'll be there at the end of the window. Have you heard anything about that game? Has there been any talk? I guess you're sort of in the enemy camp ahead of that matchup, yeah, which is a huge one.
A lot of the Saudi boys here are winding me up. Obviously, they're mad keen on Saudi qualifying and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's quite competitive when it comes to that side. Obviously, we're playing against each other. But at the same time, you know, they're great lads. They're very supportive at the same time. So, yeah, obviously, the jet lag and stuff like that won't be as bad. And I'm not as far away as I am from Scotland. So that'll definitely make that side of things easier. And obviously, playing in, you know, and more warmer conditions, and my body will definitely be more adapted to it. So that's a good thing as well.
Yeah, you mentioned a bit of banter in the dressing room. I mean, how's it been fitting in culturally over there? You've obviously played in Scotland your entire career. Is that something you had to think about or you've had to adjust to, or it's just worked?
I think it was the same as when I went into the first Socceroos camp. I think, you know, Scottish guy walking in, everyone's Aussie, and you know, like I say, I'm quite an outgoing guy. I like to be myself, and you know, I'm easy to get along with. So I wasn't going to change that to come in here and just be myself. And thankfully, they've took to me, and I've took to them, and you know, it's been quite easy. You know, the translation's a bit difficult at the start. I had a translator, but now that we've got a new manager, you know, he speaks English, which is great. You know, it makes my life a bit easier. But yeah, obviously a lot of the guys speak a little bit of broken English, so you know, I am managing to have conversations, which is good. And like I say, the banter is quite good as well. So yeah, enjoying it.
Yeah, as you mentioned, you know, coming into the Socceroos, it was a similar case. You're one of the few adopted Aussies we've had over the last few years. You know, the likes of Fran Karacic, Harry Suter, another Scotsman. I mean, is he someone that you bonded with over the last few years and you've stayed in touch with as through his recovery at the moment?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think after that Saudi game, you know, Harry's been a big miss. You know, he's been fantastic since Arnie brought him in. You know, his league form for Stoke has been brilliant as well. And obviously top teams are looking at him. And it's just a shame how it came around. You know, his injury and, you know, obviously, you know, we want to wish him all the best in his recovery. And I'm sure he'll be back a far better player. I'm not going to say bigger and stronger because that would be impossible, but you know, he's got the full support from everyone, and you know, he's a big miss in camp, and yeah, we have no doubt that he'll be back and much better. And obviously Fran, yeah, he's came in, and you know, so I think it was, you know, his English wasn't particularly the best at the start, but obviously the more camps he's been to, I think he's been working on it, which is good, because he's a fantastic guy, he's a great player, and you know, he's good to have around the camp as well, which obviously this the soccer is.
Yeah, and I can see as well you've been getting along with some of the younger boys that have been coming in. I saw a photo of you laughing with Marco Tilio the other day, and you know, we had Joel King the last episode of the podcast. He mentioned that I think you might have been the first one that let slip that he was going to get the start against Vietnam, and he thought you were stirring him up. Is there anyone in particular, you know, the boys that you've enjoyed welcoming into camp over the last few months?
I just enjoy well. I like seeing new faces, which is good. Obviously, you have the ceremonies when they get their caps, and it's always a proud moment because I was once in that position, and you know, I was never, you know, I've never been prouder. You know, it's great to see, you know, the hard work that they're putting in for their club form, and obviously Arnie, you know, he's gave a lot of people the opportunity, and you know, Joel with last game, he was, you know, against who was it, Vietnam, he was fantastic. So it was fair play to him. And obviously, you know, I'm really good friends with Aziz, and obviously with the snowstorm and stuff like that, you know, obviously he was telling me that he couldn't make it. So I was winding up really. And, you know, he was fantastic on the night, which is fair play to him. And obviously Marco came on and you know, he was unlucky not to get his goal as well. So, yeah, you know, when the younger generation come in, they're fantastic. They're fairly confident in their ability, and it's brilliant. Long may it continue.
Yeah, you had that chance, didn't you, right at the start, Tilio? You thought it was going to be like the Olympics where he just came on and scored, but it wasn't to be. But I guess your Socceroos journey, as you said, you came in not too long ago in the scheme of things, although it feels like a long couple of years since then. I mean, started just as a joke at Hibs with Millsy over there and that sort of thing. We've been over that story plenty of times. But I guess coming in at the start of that World Cup cycle and, you know, obviously had the heartbreak around the Asian Cup, do you feel like your time in green and gold, I guess it's all been building up to sort of this moment where we have these huge qualifiers and hopefully a World Cup at the end of the year. Do you think it's been building up to this point almost?
Yeah, you could say that. Obviously, if you look back at my soccer career, it's obviously been a bit staggered. You know, got off to the best start imaginable. And then obviously the injury comes and then you have to grind for 11 months to get back to, you know, to all the hard work and get back playing and then being eligible to be picked again. And I think everyone's in the same position. You know, you need to be contributing at your team. You need to be working hard to be in the picture, to be selected. And I'm sure if you're doing that, then, you know, happy days. And like I say, when you pull on that shirt or when you're selected, there's no prouder moment, especially for yourself, your families and everyone involved around you. So that's the main thing. And obviously, to qualify for the World Cup, you know, obviously I've not been in a World Cup campaign like this. And, you know, you hear the stories from everyone else qualifying in the last campaign. And, you know, we've had a lot of meetings and how much it meant and how much it means, you know, it's the world's biggest stage and, you know, we're all striving towards the same goal. And, you know, these two games coming up, you know, they're absolutely massive for us. And I'm sure everyone will be, I mean, they'll be fully focused on what we have to do. And, you know, we know ourselves that, you know, at the end of the day, we have to win the games and I'm sure we'll be ready for it.
You know, looking ahead to these two games, two wins is the obvious target. I mean, take us into, I guess, the mentality of a professional footballer when you know you have to win and there really isn't another option. How do you approach a couple of games like that?
Well, most importantly, we've got the home game. You know, it'll be the majority of a sellout, which is fantastic. You know, there's no better feeling. Obviously, the COVID situation is kind of passed at the moment, so we've got fans back, and I'm sure everyone will be raving for us. And you know, it's just important for us when we, you know, when we step onto that pitch that we, you know, we're fully focused. Everyone's at the back of our mind, and you know, we really have to go for it while staying focused. And yeah, I'm sure we'll be going out there and play attacking football and take the game and the games to them.
Yeah, you mentioned the fans. It's a nice way to move into a few fan questions we've got. I'll hit you with a few, and the first one from Kasim, he asks us, what do you love most about the Aussie fans?
Yeah, it's great. Obviously they come out in their numbers and, you know, they're really passionate with their support and, you know, they fairly dress up for the occasion and, you know, the green and gold, which is brilliant. You know, it's a massive standout in the games and, you know, the atmosphere is brilliant to play in front of. And obviously as a player, you want to get people off their seats and fairly enjoy the game and stuff like that. So yeah, they make the atmosphere very enjoyable, and as a player, there's no better feeling.
Yeah, you probably haven't heard Land Down Under belted out after a game before, like it was down in Melbourne.
No, I haven't. No, so that was some experience. Obviously, we play it in the changing room before the games. So it's obviously a massive tune.
Absolute classic. Goes back all the years after Socceroos games. We'll move to our next one from Harry. He says, you're playing an away game and you need to room with two teammates. Who are you picking?
Aziz Bezic and Matthew Ake.
There you go. Yeah, Aziz had a bit to say. I mean, I think you were stirring Aziz up on his Instagram Q&A the other day, asking him who his favourite roommate is. And actually, you asked him to tell the story of the first time you guys roomed together, and I don't think you did it. So do you want to tell us that story?
Obviously, for when I got called up to the Dubai camp for my debut, I seen the rooming list and I was asking Millsy what was this guy like, and he's like, oh yeah, he's Turkish. And I was like, what do you mean he's Turkish? And he's like, yeah, he plays in Turkey and, you know, he's full-blown Turkish, he doesn't speak English. And I was like, oh, you're joking. He's like, yeah, you're rooming up with him. So he obviously, he was winding me up the whole trip. And I got in late at camp and he was already there. And I walked in and he got out of his bed and he was shaking his hand. And I was just like, hi, how are you? And then he just full-blown spoke normal. And I was like, ah, right, okay. So I was worried the whole flight that I could not speak to this guy. But, you know, he was obviously my first roommate and we've hit it off really well, and Yeah, I was on FaceTime to him yesterday. We were just obviously speaking, and every time he phones me, he's out for a coffee, and he's, you know, he's just asking how I'm getting on. And I think he was trying to walk at his car the other day, and there was another snowstorm, so I was watching him struggle trying to get the snow, which is quite funny. Yeah, he's a funny guy. You know, we've really hit it off, which is great. And I was actually watching his game before the stream started, so obviously they were drawing 1-1, so hopefully they've managed to win the game.
Yeah, fingers crossed. We'll have to check that one out. And you mentioned Lex is the other player you've gotten along with quite well. How did that connection start?
Obviously, I met Lex a couple of years ago, and you know, obviously I bring my PlayStation along to camp, and you know, he's a big kid when it comes to that. He claims he never plays it at home, but seriously, I cannot get him out of my room. You know, he loves it. We've been playing a lot of games, you know, the three of us. And when Kyle Melder's on camp as well, that makes four of us. So we're quite competitive when it comes to the golf games. And we've been playing the Formula One as well. So, yeah, you know, we have a good time on that aspect as well. But, you know, when we step foot on the pitch, it's serious.
There you go. Yeah, moved on from FIFA to the golf or Formula One is good to hear. Are you a Formula One fan yourself? Do you watch it?
I am. I've just started a new season of Drive to Survive, so I'm absolutely buzzing. You know, it's fantastic. You know, I didn't even like it before Drive to Survive, but I managed to get the last race of the season, obviously when Verstappen won. So I know exactly what's happening now, and I can't wait for the new season.
Yeah, I've just binged it all weekend, to be honest. It's great. Yeah, it brings to life the season. And there you go, being in Saudi. That must have been an awesome experience going to watch it.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I think there's one in Bahrain. I think the Bahrain one's this weekend. I'm not sure. Hopefully, if I didn't have camp, I would have liked to have got along. But, you know, we've got much more important things to be doing than watching Formula One. So I'll be keeping tabs on it.
Fair enough. You still might be there by the last race of the season this time around.
Absolutely.
We'll move on to another fan question. Well, that answers one of our questions. We had a question from Tomar Zinn asking, what other sports do you enjoy watching and playing? So I guess Formula One's one. Are there any other sports that you particularly enjoy?
I like watching the golf. I like playing golf. I played a lot of golf when I was back in Scotland. I mean, I wasn't any good. I could hit the ball. But I think at the end of the day, it was just 4 hours out of the house. It could be absolute carnage in there. But, you know, there was a fair few boys playing in the Hibs squad, which is good. And it gave us something to do. And yeah, obviously, I've not managed to play a lot recently. So I'm probably going to need to get a new hobby.
Fair enough. We'll see if you can find a golf course somewhere. Who knows?
Yeah.
Get the boys into it. Ethan asks, growing up, who was your biggest inspiration as a footballer?
I'd probably say my father when I was growing up. You know, I think if you go along the lines of, you know, he took you to all those games, you know, you spending all the fuel money and all the money on your boots and stuff like that. And obviously your parents are obviously massive on your first step of your journey and trying to, you know, get to the very top. And obviously it's not as simple as that, but you know, they put a lot of money and towards what you want to do and obviously your hobby and what you enjoy. And so I think looking back at that, and obviously there could be a part two of this, because obviously when I've had my daughter, you know, she's massive. Every week, you know, I ask her how many she wants daddy to score, and some of it's you know, sometimes she'll say five, it'll be unachievable, and then sometimes it'll be one or two. So you know, it's nice, and if I don't score what she tells me, then she calls me rubbish. So always get a laugh out of it, and you know, it always motivates you to do well. So yeah,
decent motivation. That, I mean, I remember seeing there were plenty of scenes when you got her on the pitch at Hibs games after the games. She must have loved that.
Yeah, obviously with the COVID situation, she couldn't get to a lot of the games, and then she was walking and running around now, and she's got her football tops on. So she loves coming onto the pitch. you know, she keeps asking when she can come to watch daddy play again, which is, it's a little bit upsetting at the moment. But yeah, I'm sure in the near future she can come out here, and you know, she can come see everything around here and come to one of the games.
You have to fly them down under to watch you in Australia one day too. That would be, I'm sure they'd enjoy that.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, there's a closer one, you know, that they can hop on a flight and then hop back, and then it'll be brilliant. But if not, then, you know, if we can get the time and stuff like that where they can come to us to watch a game, then, you know, it'd be fantastic.
We won't keep you too much longer. We'll get into our last section now, something that we've asked a few of the boys to name a dream five-a-side, which can be pretty much whatever theme you'd like, maybe a combination of players you've played with over the years and some you've played against. Yeah, feel free to go for it.
Well, I played against Haaland, so he can go up front when he was at Molde in the Europa League. So he can go up front. I think who else I played against. I'm sure most boys have played against bigger boys than I've played against. I'm not sure. I'll probably put a few mates in. I'll put Lex in. I need someone to head the ball. And then I'll put Aziz in defence. Do I need a goalie? Nah, no goalies.
Up to you.
Nah, no goalies.
Okay, nah. Fair.
I'm trying to think. Can I put like legends in, like Ronaldinho? Can I throw him in the mix?
Yeah, why not? Go for it. It's your team.
Haaland, Ronaldinho, Aziz, and Lex. I need one more.
Then you can have a keeper or a defender. So
I'll chuck Matty Ryan in. That's a good team.
Fair.
That is a winning team. And no, I'll be the manager.
Yeah, exactly. Haven't even put yourself in there. It was your chance to play with Ronaldinho.
Nah, I'm not getting a game in that team.
Fair enough. Well, really enjoyed that. Thanks for joining us, Martin. All the best this weekend, and we look forward to seeing you back down under soon.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
And thanks for listening to our latest podcast. Head to socceroos.com.au/podcast to check out more, featuring the likes of Awar Mabil, Trent Sainsbury and Joel King. It's almost time for our massive World Cup qualifier at home to Japan, so make sure to buy your tickets and come along if you can. Otherwise, stay tuned to the Socceroos social media for our upcoming squad announcement and plenty of exclusive in-camp content. Thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you next time.